You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome back to episode 11 of Earth Station MCU. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and if you do subscribe to us through one of those services, please take a couple of minutes and give us a rating. Spread the word to everyone you know, and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. We hope to see you there. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group, and by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. We're back from vacation, and we've got a lot of news to talk about, as well as two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and boy, did we have a lot happen in the last couple of weeks. So let's not waste any time. I'd like to welcome back Mr. John Raven.
Hi, welcome back.
Yes.
I'm glad to be here.
Excellent, excellent. You have a good break over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of interesting things have happened, so we'll see where everything goes with the Marvel Universe.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I had some time in sunny Florida, so that was very nice. And I got back to Atlanta, and now where the hell did spring go? All of a sudden, it's like freezing cold again. So
yeah, and that's the thing. We've been seeing reports here. It's like there's going to be a freeze this weekend. Like friggin' southern weather.
I know. It's like spring was supposed to be last Friday. What the heck? This isn't New Hampshire, right?
Right. Well, yeah, where you get maybe 3 months of warm weather if you're lucky.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they're in the process of transitioning from winter to mud season, and with all the snow that they've had, I'm sure it's going to be a doozy. But anyway, so we've got lots of Marvel news. We were before we were on air, we just started talking a little bit about some Spider-Man news. So what have you heard on that, sir?
Pretty much that there's a guy who supposedly is the one that they're in negotiations with. Negotiations were apparently conducted inside the actor's home so as not to be overheard or leaked upon, but apparently that failed.
They at least knew that he was there. So
yeah, and it's all rumor at this point, so we don't really know how true this is.
Mm-hmm.
But the rumor right now is that Marvel has been talking to Matthias Ward, and he's a fairly young actor. He's actually 16 years old, so that goes definitely to they're seeking a younger Spider-Man. And somebody that can stick around for a while and not age out of the part.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, the other one that I had heard discussed was, I want to say, is Asa Butterfield? It's the kid that was in Ender's Game, I know.
And okay.
He's also obviously on the young side compared to somebody like Andrew Garfield or something. So,
right, yeah. They're definitely younger than the previous actors that have been discussed, like the kid from Maze Runner and the one who is the young Norman Bates on Bates Motel. Yeah,
right, right. Yeah, yeah. They're quite a bit younger, which is good because you know that's one of the things that people are mentioning now about people like Robert Downey Jr. and Hugh Jackman and whatnot is, you know, how much longer can people keep playing these parts, you know? And personally, the Iron Man can keep going.
I just don't think that Downey ages, you know? He's on one of those, like, green juice grass diets, and I think it just works for him.
Yeah.
It makes me want to actually check it out myself, except for the fact that I like red meat.
Well, there's that, and there's the fact that, you know, for somebody who's done as many drugs as he did when he was younger, he has aged exceptionally well.
Some people can just take that. I mean, look at Keith Richards.
Well, Keith Richards doesn't look so good.
But, yeah, but he's still alive.
But he is still alive. That's true. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the great thing about that is that, you know, if you get somebody who's like 15, 16 years old, right. They're still going to have that youthful look potentially for another 10 plus years. I mean, mm-hmm. my God, how many of the quote unquote kids on Glee were like pushing 30?
And that's always the thing, is that Hollywood seems to think that you can cast 20 somethings to be high school students.
Right.
And, I mean, I suppose there's a certain logic to that in the sense that, you know, look at what happened to the kid that played Neville over the series of the Harry Potter
films.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, he went from being, you know, pudgy guy to, you know, he's got a few posters on girls' bedroom walls in America and Britain now.
Yeah, he's definitely a not the pudgy, nerdy guy anymore. He's pretty good looking. So, yeah, somebody can change a lot over the, you know, if you've got them... going from a kid to an adult, but So I think you mentioned that you'd seen this Mateus guy on something.
Yeah, I was watching Lab Rats, which is a show he has a recurring character on as Marcus Davenport, who's kind of a foil to the main character of Leo, and is himself powered and kind of is trying to. Get in good with the Lab Rats characters, who are these bionically enhanced teenagers.
Oh, neat.
Who are basically Hal Sparks' children in the series.
Oh, okay. So
that's... he's almost like their nemesis in a way.
Okay. So, I mean, that could be interesting, because if you got somebody who's, you know, who's used to playing a bad guy, that calls for a certain... you know, a certain skill set, I guess.
Yes.
On the other hand, Peter Parker really needs to be, I mean, more so than maybe any other character except possibly Captain America, has to have the young, earnest, good guy thing going, too.
Yeah, and I think the important thing that we need to see from Mr. Ward, should he be hired in this role, is kind of that Peter snarkiness.
True.
And that was something that, you know... that Tobey Maguire really had down when he was Spider-Man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And was really missing, I think, from Andrew Garfield's.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield was, I mean, it's snarky, but kind of nerdy snarky, you know? Because I have a friend who wrote for some Spider-Man stuff, I think for like video games or something, or something, I don't remember. But he said that the trick to writing... Peter Parker really well in Spider-Man was that he thought that he was a very funny guy and he made a lot of jokes and a lot of puns, and a lot of them were just like, dude, that's kind of dumb.
I would almost see that as opposite. I think the secret really to writing Peter is that Peter is a guy who is very funny but isn't very sure of himself until he puts the mask on.
Okay.
And in the way that a lot of people deal with kind of stressful or intense situations is to make fun of them.
Yeah,
and I think that's really how Peter responds to this. And Peter's a very smart guy who knows that if he makes fun of his enemies and, you know, gets them really angry, he can get them off their game and do something that will defeat them.
Right, exactly. Very cool. Yeah. So if they're in negotiations, because that's another thing, is that people have been saying that the obvious place to work in a new Spider-Man would be to have at least a cameo in Civil War. And Civil War, I believe, is supposed to start shooting next week, I think.
Yeah, at least, I think at the latest it starts in May, but...
Well, I know that there are... notices being posted on the various boards in Atlanta for extras, and they're saying right out they're extras for Captain America Civil War.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that starts early April sometime. So I mean, that may not be even like shooting with the main characters. That may be, you know, waiting and doing, you know, background shots or whatever.
And, you know, I've thought about that myself, but I mean, being only about, what, 3 hours away from Atlanta.
But... yes.
You know, it's just one of those things where you don't really know how much time you need to give up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's the kind of thing where they would, I'm sure, as is the case with all of these, they would much rather have people that could commit to a certain amount of time rather than people that they're going to have to be, you know, retraining every couple of days.
Let's see, how many vacation days have I got?
Yeah, exactly. And I just burned all of mine going to Florida. but yeah, so that's obviously, that's every nerd in Atlanta is checking out their vacation schedule and saying, is there any way that I can make this work? Because, boy, how cool would that be?
Marvel, if I can take off a couple days and you want me, hell, I'll pay you.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure I'm going to end up talking to somebody who works on it. So we may even try and get somebody on the show. I don't know if Mr. Bobby Nash is going to be doing this one. He does a lot of extras work around town.
I know at least one person. I'm just not sure if he can actually talk about it.
Well, there is that. They're probably going to have to sign something saying that, you know, the orbital mind lasers will come after them.
Everybody's got NDAs, and you know, the moment you talk is the moment you become pretty much unemployable by anyone else.
Right. Although, like, I've talked with a friend of mine that worked on Walking Dead, and she was actually one of the kind of, you know, semi-featured zombies for, I think it was season 2 or something. But, she couldn't say anything plot-wise, but she could still talk about cool stuff, you know, like, oh, I got to see this person on set, and this is how they do the makeup, and things like that. So
Andrew Lincoln sounds really weird when he's actually speaking with his English accent.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
For anybody who hasn't seen Love Actually.
Exactly. Anyway.
Right.
So, hopefully we can, we might, if they're allowed to say anything, we'll try and track down somebody who's working on that. So, yeah, but with the possibility of Spider-Man being in Civil War, obviously that's something that they would have to be, you know, finding somebody, like, now-ish. So hopefully they'll find the right person.
At the very least, they've got a movie to pull off in 2 years, so.
Yes, definitely. But it's easier to find somebody in 2 years than it is in 2 weeks. So,
yep.
So anyway, okay, cool. Let's see. We've had a whole bunch of other stuff come up. We had a new trailer come out. The version that's being shown on TV. Not a whole lot of new stuff in it, though.
Well, I mean, there is newer stuff. It's just, you know, not very like it. It doesn't give you very much.
Right, exactly. Like, it's like, you know, different angles and things like that. And
new footage, but no surprises.
Exactly. There's, I think that's the first time we've seen the "if you walk out that door, you're an Avenger" kind of line and stuff. So yeah, that's cool. But, you know, honestly, they've already given us an awful lot, I think, in the trailers. And so there was not nearly
enough.
Well, I really
know, but
like
I'm biased
surprises.
In that.
Yes, I really like surprises, and you know, and you've gotten some good Vision stuff in there. So I think not as much as you'd like, of course, but so that's the new one that is being shown on TV. And it's funny because, you know, all these trailers that were being released, and I was like, actually they're showing trailers, but what are these? I guess they were attached to the ends of other movies, but it was like, I actually haven't seen any TV advertising. On the other hand, you know, it's sort of like what Mike Gordon said when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. It's not like people are not going to know it's coming out.
Right.
You know, it's not like we're not going to go. But at this point, we've still got another, you know, 4 or 5 weeks to go before it opens. And they're really starting the push for marketing stuff and ads and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And this particular trailer is nice too, because for people who are not absolutely hardcore Marvel, MCU or comics fans, it sort of does a little roll call thing where it you know, shows the character's name and then, you know, shows a little bit from them. So that's nice with getting people accustomed to that. One thing that I noticed is, have they ever referred to Black Widow as Black Widow on screen before?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with somebody and they said that they thought that there was some point where someone was referring to her, like, as, you know, as a code name or something like that in her code. But I mean, it was maybe mentioned maybe once in the movies we've seen her in, yeah. But that's what she's being, you know, being booked as on there. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, she's usually just referred to as Natasha or Agent Romanoff.
Exactly, Agent Romanoff. Mm-hmm. So that's kind
of
cool.
Which, you know, we never really hear much of Hawkeye's code name either. It's just
true.
You know, it's Agent Barton.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Poor Hawkeye. He gets no respect.
Yeah. None at all.
But yeah, so we didn't really have anything new, but honestly at this point, you know, it's just a matter of getting those few people out there that were not won over by the first Avengers movie and just mm-hmm. reminding them when it comes out.
You mean people didn't like it?
Well, there are probably some people that didn't even see it. You know, maybe they weren't born yet. I don't know. Maybe they were living under a rock or something like that. But
they're just lame.
Or maybe they're just incredibly lame. So who knows? So another article that came out while we were out, there was an interview, and it was actually with Lorraine Sink, I think. But it was an official Marvel interview. And Joss Whedon sort of teases a little bit about the fact that there are some new characters that we haven't seen yet. You know, obviously everybody knows about Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver,
right.
And Age of Ultron. Yes, of course, we've got Ultron, and those of us who are fans know, you know, what's going on with Vision. But apparently there's some more. So we have seen a couple.
Right.
We've seen the guy that Andy Serkis is playing, who we're all speculating is Ulysses Klaue. But what else do you think might be in there?
You know, there's no telling because they've kept a very tight lip on it.
And, yeah.
I mean, we know from the latest from the last poster that was released that Anthony Mackie is going to show up.
That's true.
Which lends credence to the rumors that by the end of this film, the Avengers are going to be split into two camps, and Cap is going to have his team, and Tony's
right.
going to have his team.
Right. Although in the most recent ad, I thought it was, and I'm going to get exactly what the wording was wrong. There was a neat thing about Tony basically saying, oh no, I'm not in charge. I'm just the one that pays for everything and designs everything and does mm-hmm. everything, but I'm not the one in charge.
Yeah, it certainly looks like he's turning kind of the leadership reins over to Cap.
Right, right. And that's appropriate because, you know, Cap is obvious. I mean, Tony mm-hmm. is not a leader. Tony has the charisma.
Right.
But he's not somebody who inspires people.
And for the longest time, though, like in the comics, mm-hmm. Tony was the leader.
Even after
they unfroze Cap and he joined the team,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't until just about everybody but Cap left that that he became the leader, and on a team that had Quicksilver, the Scarlet Witch, and
uh-huh.
Hawkeye.
Okay.
Yeah, it's usually referred to in comics as Cap's quirky quartet.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually surprises me a little bit because I mean, it just seems like Iron Man is such a lone wolf kind of character. I mean, that was what I thought was exciting about the first Avengers movie, is that they did such a great job. I mean, I went into that really expecting, okay, this is going to be like Tony and Friends, you know, because he's the one that has had, you know, multiple movies. He's the one with the big personality, and he's the big, you know, the big movie star.
Right.
And I thought it was just, you know, speaks to Joss Whedon's amazing writing ability that he was able to make it a movie about a bunch of very disparate people who are not really inclined to work together at first,
mm-hmm.
but come together. So whereas the first one was them finding a way to work together, I think you're right that I think definitely they'll still be, you know, still be a team throughout this. But we've seen in that leak scene of Tony and Cap when they're chopping wood
mm-hmm.
that you can already see that there's a divide coming there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Right, and that, it looks like based on the news that this is going to be a divide that sticks with them through the first Infinity War film.
Yeah. I've heard people saying that that's going to be kind of what happens in Infinity War 2, is that they're going to bring back all the characters that have left the team or, you know, gone off to do their own thing or possibly died or whatever. So yeah. Who else? I mean, can you think of anybody else that would be new that would be introduced that we're aware is? I mean, do you think we're gonna see Black Panther?
Oh, I mean, I think we could. I mean, we know that Black Panther is going to come into play in Civil War,
right?
Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, at least what they've said is that's going to be the first time he shows up.
Right, but we've got Ulysses Klaue is a Black Panther.
Right.
Right,
we've got Ulysses Klaue, and we've got this unnamed, African American woman.
Yep.
Who, mm-hmm. like we look at her, but we get no other information about
right,
her.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, it's just been a quick shot of that. So
mm-hmm. you know, and there have been evidence pulled from the internet that basically speculate, say, yeah, she is Wakandan.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
she has something to do with this story, and otherwise she doesn't really seem to make much sense in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, definitely. I would be interested to see if they're going to drop in any of the... obviously, they've at least said that we're not going to get Agent Coulson, but, you know, whether it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mm-hmm. people or people from Daredevil or Jessica Jones, it would be great to have those have a little bit of movie time there.
Right, so. And as Jeff Loeb has said, you know, it's all connected. We just don't know if who's going to show up, when or where or how yet.
Exactly. Let's see what else we got going on. There's reports, there's been a lot of people speculated for this, but it sounds like it's fairly official that the Russos are going to be directing the Infinity Wars movies.
Right. It seems like this has been news for like a while now, but I guess it's just kind of finally getting officially
Yeah, released. I mean, I think it is something that has come up, but it's also been something where one thing will come up and people will say this, and then, you know, 2 weeks later somebody will say something else, and it's sort of like we'll believe it when it's officially official from Marvel. And mm-hmm. Apparently it is officially official from Marvel.
Yeah, now it is.
So, yeah, exactly. I think they're great, great directors, but as far as I can tell, it seems like they're saying they're going to be directing it, but I haven't seen anything saying that they're definitely writing it. So I'm not really sure. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, the particular one that is being quoted on, I'm looking at IO9 right now, mm-hmm. and it says, no writers are assigned, but the studio is supposedly in talks with Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who also worked on Captain America, and were the creators of Agent Carter. So mm-hmm. that would be good. I mean, I'll be surprised if Whedon completely leaves it behind. I think he's, you know, he's made a lot of comments about how hard shooting Avengers has been. But, you know, he's the kind of person that I don't want to say he micromanages, but he has very clear ideas about what he wants, I think, and he's going until he gets it. So
he'll be shepherding things, but I don't think he'll be directly making the movies.
Right. And and obviously, you know, most people agree that the first Captain America movie was a great movie, even if not everybody liked the fact that it was a period movie or the mm-hmm. style of it. But they've shown us a lot of range now in seeing just the two Captain America movies, how completely different they were, but they still captured the essence of that character so well. You know, to go mm-hmm. from writing the people in the first movie that were all very much, you know, four color big characters, and then, well, not that he's not, but then going to writing somebody like Nick Fury and Black Widow in Winter Soldier, it's the they're very different styles.
Yes.
So yeah, I think they've definitely got the chops for it. I know that they've signed a deal with Sony to do something, and the assumption has been that they're going to be doing the Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that remains to be seen. They're also the ones that are talking about making an all-male Ghostbusters movie, and it's like,
right.
Well, the last one was an all-male Ghostbusters movie, so it's...
Well, I think that's more in the lines of, well, we've got the all-female Ghostbusters movie, we're going to do the all-male Ghostbusters movie, and we're going to create a whole Ghostbusters universe now.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just not wild about that whole thing. I mean, first of all, I mean, getting off topic, but just briefly, I love the first Ghostbusters movie, and I wish they would just leave it alone and stop trying to reinvent the wheel, because there's, you know, that was
well, Hollywood ran out of ideas about 20 years ago.
Well, there is that. There is that. But, so anyway, we had a new, what else do we have here? A new Daredevil. They're calling it a motion poster.
Right.
Which was kind of neat. It was, you know, not set up like a regular teaser kind of thing. It was just like a static scene that they kind of moved backwards from.
Yeah, just something where we get to see kind of all the cast, not necessarily interacting with each other, but just kind of showing up and being, this is who is in Daredevil.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was actually a neat way of approaching that, because it's, you know, it's something different. It's not just the same, you know, action trailer kind of thing.
Right, and we got two more weeks to that.
I know. And yeah, that's something that I've been debating about a lot. I don't think it's going to be realistic for us to cover the entire 13 episodes in one episode. I don't know if it's really going to be realistic for us to try and cover all 13 episodes in one episode of Earth Station MCU.
Right.
So we'll probably spread it out over a few weeks. I'm going to binge watch it, but I'm not going to try and do it all like the same weekend. You know, so yeah, we'll go ahead and take a short break then, and when we come back, we will be talking about the two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since we came back.
Hey, tune in to the Ratchet Retrocast, your source for all things retro and steampunk.
Welcome back, and now we're going to be talking about, and we'll probably... you know, sort of mush things together, but we've got One of Us, which was the episode from a couple of weeks ago, and the amusingly named Love in the Time of Hydra to talk about. So we had a lot of stuff going on. I think the big thing with One of Us was we had Calvin's little Team Evil get together there. So who did we have in there, what did you think of them?
Well, there were a lot of characters that may have been somebody. For example, DeMatteo's character was kind of a minor character in Daredevil who had no powers and was actually a victim of domestic violence, which, as her character on the show was, but her character on the show found a way to fight against that.
Although she had one of the lamest superpowers ever. She basically had, you know, like kind of like a half-assed Wolverine nails kind of thing.
Yeah, and there isn't a way to kind of undo that without having to put the things on her fingers.
Right, exactly. But, okay, so she was a minor Daredevil person. What about what about the other ones?
Let's see, I believe one fellow, Mr. Francis Noche.
Okay.
Could be a character called Ajax, who was part of the Weapon X program. Was essentially very smart but very dumb, and the stronger he got, the dumber he got.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, sort of like the more you learn about English, the worse you get at math.
Right, and I'm not sure about who the technology gifted guy was. I mean, we never really got his name, and in Marvel, that could be one of several people.
Yeah, the article that I'm looking at had him named as Wendell Levi. So I don't know if that ends up aligning to anything in particular, but
off the top of my head.
Yeah. So there's a couple of them. Let's see what else.
The one big comic book connection was Mr. Angar.
Right, Angar the Screamer. Right.
Yep. Yeah, Angar the Screamer, kind of minor villain back in the 70s, who was basically, you know, the evil hippie.
right.
Who, you know, started off as one of these, you know, protester sort of guys who got a little militant and by means of scientific accident, got powers to be able to kind of almost do like a banshee sort of thing, like like a loud sonic scream. And he got partnered with one of the Masters of Evil later, who was named Screaming Mimi, who eventually becomes a hero named Songbird under the Baron Zemo-led Thunderbolts.
So yeah, it's sort of, you know, and this, I guess that sort of makes sense for Cal that, you know, when he goes to put together a team, he kind of gets the, you know, the B-list, you know?
Yeah, because as we see, it doesn't seem like he's very popular with Inhumans.
No, no, he, I mean, he's, you know, he's charismatic in his own weird, crazy guy kind of way, but, I mean, he's just such a... Kyle MacLachlan just has such a presence on screen as that character.
Oh, yeah. He's very good.
He's like, so, what's your thing? I was hoping it was wings. That was great. But
or especially when he starts getting on the PA system at the stadium, taunting Coulson.
Yeah, exactly. He's the kind of good scenery chewing evil bad guy. And
you gotta love a guy who can do that well.
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, and ultimately that's, you know, that's what we have with somebody like James Spader too, you know, with playing Ultron. You've got to have, of course, you know, on the one hand, he has the advantage of CGI and all kinds of things like that. But, you know, with Kyle MacLachlan, it's all done through his acting and his...
And you can definitely... You can see that in James Spader pretty much every episode of The Blacklist.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, getting the physicality of a given role and making it very different from other ones. So, you know, I will always think of him as Agent Dale Cooper.
Damn good coffee.
That is damn good coffee. And although, you know, if you think about his last couple minutes as Cooper on the series, with his looking in the mirror and being, "How's Annie?"
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's very very Calvin-esque. So he was, for me, he was really the highlight of the episode. You know, he was definitely the one that you want to watch, the one that you want to see doing stuff on screen. The other big big subplot was dealing with May's ex, Dr. Andrew Garner, who was played
Mr.
by Blair Underwood.
Blair Underwood.
Indeed, indeed. And he was, I mean, obviously it's a very different kind of a story, but I thought they did that pretty well too. In terms of, this is just a pet peeve of mine, is that so often psychologists are depicted, or psychiatrists rather, are depicted in a very negative way, and he was awesome. Go ahead.
And I like the way that he treats Skye and sort of the, you know, like he starts batting down like her defenses, like, yeah, I know what you're doing there, I know what you're doing there.
But without being a dick about it, you know?
Yeah. Because you know? That's sometimes, you know, if like a very good psychologist or psychiatrist will figure out what the subject is doing so that they can respond to it appropriately.
Right.
Learn the subject, and then you can find your way in to be able to help them.
Right. And I thought it was great that there was an implication that that they wanted him to kind of be doing something, you know, sneaky or something. And the whole way through, he was like, no, absolutely, I'm here to help her. And she's going to get a full copy of my report, and I'm not hiding any of this. So so clearly he was used to working with, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D.-like agencies and whatnot. But I thought that was good. And we got a lot of good insight into what Skye's going.
Yeah, and, you know, she got those gauntlets at the end, those things to kind of help her
to control her powers.
Yeah, or at least not direct her powers inside of her to, you know, cause the microfractures that she was having.
And those are something from the comic, right?
Right. In the comics, that she definitely has these metal gauntlets that help her channel her abilities. Mm-hmm. These seem more inclined to keep her from hurting herself.
Yeah, that was what I was That was the impression that I got, and it seemed like, and that was a something that Simmons came up with, right?
Right, and actually, yeah. I think we're jumping into this
we
week's
are.
Episode at this point.
That's true.
But yeah, at first, you know, Simmons gives her the kind of the braces in order to help her heal, and then we get these new braces as of this week that are designed to kind of help inhibit her powers enough that she doesn't cause herself harm.
Yeah, that was what I saw it as, was, you know, when people were like, oh, it's the ones that from the comics that help her to channel her powers. It
right.
seemed like that was something where they were trying to shut her powers down.
We're not to that level yet of training her to be able to use the powers. We're trying to keep her powers from not destroying everything.
Right, right. And it's not just a matter of, oh, well, we're trying to help her. It seems like, you know, and if you hear about the stuff that Calvin says and that we've gotten from other people, you know, when you get on the index, it's because they want to shut you down and keep you from being able to use your powers. You know, that's why they had, with Drea DeMatteo's character, that she was, her hands were kind of like locked up so that she couldn't do anything with her claws.
Or even going back to the first season with what's his name?
It's the guy that was played by J. August Richards. And
not him. I'm thinking of the guy in China.
Oh yeah. The one that with the he had like fire powers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was basically being watched and monitored, and like, don't use your powers.
Right. Right,
and that's
exactly.
kind of what set him off and on the path to evil was, I don't want to keep this hidden.
Right, exactly. And I think it's great that you can see through all of this how everything is leading up to Civil War, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that, you know, you can certainly see it as a metaphor for racism or for any number of other things in terms of saying, we want to stop you from being you. You know, we want to contain your otherness or whatever. And then that leading to the whole Civil War thing of, you know, our people. And I mean, they talked about this, I think it was Iron Man 2, right? Where Tony's being interviewed in front of Congress, and what's his name? Gary Shandling's character is like, you're basically an unlicensed weapon. You know, we can't have people, you know, going around with
right.
superpowers, you know, completely unregulated. So that's kind of what the index is. Yeah.
But of course, Senator Stern had an ulterior motive.
Well, he did. That's very true. But at the same time, you know, I think that one of the things that makes this an interesting conflict, and I like that they're showing the full range of it on the team, is that especially because this perspective is coming from
right.
adorable little Simmons, you know, how can anyone have a problem with what she's doing, is the idea that, you know, yeah, people with superpowers are cool, but it's also kind of dangerous, and she has.
Yeah, and it can be very scary.
Absolutely, and probably my favorite scene in this week's episode was the one between her and Fitz talking about the Hulk. You know,
right?
And she's like, well, you know, I'm sure Bruce Banner, if he could, would not have that. He would rather get rid of that. And Fitz is like, well, maybe, but you do realize that he saved the world. You know, thank God that he does have that. So yeah, it's an interesting conflict to have set up like that.
Absolutely.
Speaking
of conflicts.
Yes.
Yes, the real shield.
Yes, real shield and other shield. The other shield.
Coulson shield versus almost shield.
Right, exactly. And what's Gonzalez, right?
Yeah. Roberto Gonzalez, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's certainly interesting. I know a lot of people they are definitely framing it as being, you know, the real shield. They haven't said sword, although that certainly was a big speculation. So
they certainly think that they're the real shield, and it's hard to tell if it's just, you know, they don't trust Coulson, or if maybe they're a little bit jealous because, you know, Coulson got the goods from Fury.
Right. Very true. But yeah, I was a little bit sad when we didn't get to record last week, because my prediction was going to be that this and I may have even touched on this in our last episode when this was coming up, that this character, that this other shield was basically going to be coming at it from the perspective that that Coulson can't be in charge of the organization because he has crazy alien blood in him and is doing stuff like, you know, carving up the walls and you know, sending people into potentially dangerous... I mean, he's... You can certainly see from a certain perspective that he's been compromised, that he shouldn't be in charge.
Right, you can see where people would be suspicious of that. At the same time, I mean, we know that Coulson isn't just, you know, seeking out alien artifacts, you know, on a whim or on some obsession, but on the fact that they are very dangerous.
Yes, absolutely, but I think the show does a really great job of showing us, okay, that's the perspective that we've seen. But if you didn't know, I mean, these are spies. Not everybody knows what they're doing and what their motivations are and, you know, why they're doing what they're doing. So if you look at it from the outside, I can certainly see how somebody would go, oh, that's not good. Yeah. So that's how you end up with this other shield.
At the same time, it just seems questionable to me because, you know, Mac has been through all of this. Mac has seen all these things.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels like he should know that, you know, Coulson wasn't, hey, let's get down in the city to find and use whatever it is. Coulson was, no, let's shut this down. Let's destroy this. Let's make sure no one can use it.
Right, right. Very, very true. If you get it in your head that somebody has been compromised, I mean, just like the way that different people are reacting to Sky, you know, when you have the idea of, you know, humans versus everyone who's not human or something like that, then you draw some lines in the sand.
Right.
Now, a lot of people have had speculated that this was not going to be S.H.I.E.L.D. at all. It was going to be S.W.O.R.D. So can you tell us anything about S.W.O.R.D. from the comics?
S.W.O.R.D. is essentially S.H.I.E.L.D., but it guards Earth from extraterrestrial threats.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's set up to kind of monitor space, monitor things that are going on out there, and make sure that... You know, the big bad guys from the outer reaches of the universe don't make it here.
Okay. And, so that would make sense as a sort of tie-in to Guardians of the Galaxy type stuff.
Right, and they're led by a woman named Abigail Brand, who, you know, she has some kind of alien connection herself. She's a little part, you know, she's got some alien DNA inside her.
Okay.
So, but we don't know too much about her beyond that. But she's, in effect, the director of S.W.O.R.D., and she showed up for the first time in Joss Whedon's run of, I want to say, Amazing X-Men.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was what I was going to say, was I'm pretty sure that S.W.O.R.D., I think the reason why a lot of people were speculating that this was going to be S.W.O.R.D. is that was an organization that, I don't know if he came up with it or if Joss had just done a lot of development of it.
Well, it was really the first time that we saw them in comics was during his X-Men run.
Okay, yeah. So it would certainly make sense to for the showrunners to want to go in that direction, but it seems like this is more more than going in that direction. That it's more like that the lines are coming down in terms of Coulson wanting to, you know, work with people who have powers. And, know, be able to keep Sky as a member of the team, not to mention his own, alien connection, compared to the people who are, like, just, you know, all humans all the time.
Right, and of course his kind of surrogate father-daughter relationship with Sky.
Right, absolutely. So it seems like that's kind of how it's coming down. And again, it sort of feels like foreshadowing of Civil War in terms of, you know, are people who have powers, you know, something to be harnessed for the greater good, or are they something that should be shut down and monitored and you know, stopped from existing, you know, whether you're wiping them out or just neutering their powers or something. So I think they're doing a great job the way that they're introducing a lot of the themes that are going to be big in the movies, mm-hmm. As well as, you know, because they're introducing a lot of Civil War stuff as well as a lot of Inhuman stuff. And I'm really pleased to see how, because that was obviously one of the, I think, the big weaknesses with season one was that you had a lot of, until Winter Soldier came out, it seemed like it didn't really have much connection to the rest of the MCU. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, people, you know, solving Monster of the Week crimes.
Yeah, you know, and we get a Thor the Dark World tie-in that turns out to be just about Peter McNichol.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There was that, and it was just sort of like, an important thing happened here. Let's walk around the same set, you know. Yeah. And that was basically it. So yeah, I think that they're doing a great job of really incorporating that, and I'm looking forward to seeing the degree to which they do that with the Netflix series too. In terms of how they're working that in. And I mean, if you look back to Agent Carter, the way that, you know, that was taking place in a whole different half of the century, and yet they still managed to bring in some really cool references to everything. So
Definitely.
Okay, so anything else you want to talk about from these two episodes? Or are we ready to do ratings?
I'm ready to do ratings.
All right. Okay. So we've got two episodes. We've got one of us on a scale of 1 to 5 shields. Where would you place that one?
We give that a 4.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love the bringing in of more people with superpowers. Uh-huh. The further development of Skye. The backstory between May and her ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well developed and well rounded, I thought.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm gonna go with like a 3.5, I guess, because I think that it was a lot of good character development, but it felt kind of slow. I mean, I absolutely love Kyle MacLachlan, but it sort of felt like some of his antics were just kind of like taking up space, you know, like it was just, hey, look at him being crazy. And, you know, his whole getting the team together stuff, you know, was something that, you know, I could have done without, you know, not that it was awful, but I just thought that there were, it had me a little bit bored in places.
But anytime you put together a team, you gotta have the recruiting the team
right.
members montage.
Yeah, yeah, but we could have done that with a 30-second montage. I just didn't think that Drea De Mateo's character, I just thought she was really lame, basically.
Have a montage. Montage! Yeah. Sorry.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'll go with a 3.5 for that one. How about before we jump into rating for Love in the Time of Hydra, dude, like creepiest thing ever having Skye's face and May's voice.
Oh yeah, you know, the whole Agent 33 still figuring out who she is and just, you know, emotionally latching on to Ward.
Yeah, who is like the most unhealthy person in the world to latch onto.
Yeah, but, you saw the way he kind of glossed over what happened with his family.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think that for me that was something that they didn't really touch on, but they spent a good portion of the last episode dealing with 33 and Ward, and I thought that was very cool. It was because we really haven't seen anything of Ward since Puerto Rico,
right?
So anyway, getting back to that, how would you scale it 1 to 5? How would you rate Love in the Time of Hydra?
I'm gonna give this another 4 as well.
Okay.
Just, you know, I think of them together, and I like of the two episodes together, and I just think they deserve roughly the same. Credit as far as further mm-hmm. developing these characters. Obviously, this episode went even more into depth into who this other S.H.I.E.L.D. is,
right.
that, you know, led by Eddie Olmos and comprised of a few characters, at least one of which we'd seen before in the
right.
the head of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And yeah.
I think we're going even further into the research, further into the universe, and setting up this us versus them of the two S.H.I.E.L.D. factions.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I'm I love this episode. I would, you know, give this a 4, call it 4.25, maybe.
Okay.
Because for me, the subplot in this one, because you had what was going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. and you had the stuff with Sky, and I thought that that while I really loved the psychiatrist character and I thought that he was great, you know, it was a little bit slow. And with this one, you had more the team's reaction to Sky, and you know, the building conflict between, you know, Simmons' mm-hmm. perspective and Fitz's, and then you had obviously this other S.H.I.E.L.D. and I loved that they had oh god, and I'm blanking on his name now. He was was in Fringe. And he's in 12 Monkeys.
Oh, Mr. Acevedo.
Kirk Acevedo. Yeah, he was playing the character that he always plays, you know, but he makes a great little addition to the background team there. I love the whole idea of this other S.H.I.E.L.D. and of the conflicting loyalties and seeing that fleshed out. And mm-hmm. then having the other subplot being the Ward 33 one, I thought was fantastic. I thought it was a great little Natural Born Killers homage at the beginning, where they're sitting there in the diner and then they whip out the weapons and was like, everybody stop, we're gonna kidnap this guy.
Yeah, no, it's just like something out of Natural Born Killers or something. Or like a Tarantino movie where everything is fine and normal, and suddenly, hey, it's a holdup.
Exactly. So I thought that was great, and I thought that the, you know, her doing the mystique thing, basically, of, you know, changing her face mm-hmm. and saying, I just think that is the creepiest thing in the world, with trying to seduce someone by turning into different people. That's just, like, so wrong. I loved this episode. While I thought the one before was fun, because Calvin is fun to watch, this one I love. I'll even bump that up to a 4.5. This was one of my favorites this season, I think, so far.
Fair enough.
Before we go, you got a toy in the mail a little while ago. How's that coming?
I did. Hopefully I'll be able to finish it tonight. The S.H.I.E.L.D. Helicarrier. I've got two sets of bags left in it. I have to add the other runway in the tower and all the little mini vehicles that come with it.
That's awesome.
And then I'm probably going to wait till June to order any more Avengers Legos, because mm-hmm. the special figure little thing that you get if you order like a certain amount of stuff in mm-hmm. June is the Winter Soldier.
Ah, nice.
And his head, they've all, like, if you pre-ordered in Europe, you got this already.
Ah,
so
cool.
In June is when it becomes available to us in America.
Uh-huh.
And it's got two different two different faces on either uh-huh. side, so you can get either the mask, you know, the face mask version from Captain America Winter Soldier,
uh-huh.
or you can get kind of the Dark Domino mask like in the comics.
Oh, cool.
So you can do either version of that. Of that character.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've got a Black Widow figure that not Lego, but like an action figure, and mm-hmm. you can either give her the hair from Avengers, or I think is it the Winter? Yeah, I guess it's Winter Soldier. I was thinking it was the Iron Man 2, but no, I think it's the two different hairstyles, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, the straight with the bangs or the sort of more curly hair. So yeah, I like having little things you can customize like that.
Right.
So great. Definitely post something up to the Facebook group when you've got that completed, because I think we would all love to see that, because I think that is an awesome cool thing to get.
I will certainly work on that. It's been fun to build. I mean, it's taken me almost all week, mm-hmm. You know, since, you know, you have jobs and other things going on, and it's been beer week down here, so I've been to a few events as well.
Beer week, okay. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have beer week. Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, then we will be back next week with a new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to be looking forward to probably... I'm expecting at this point to be getting news pretty fast and furious about all the stuff going on with Daredevil and everything.
Definitely. Age of Ultron as we get closer to that film.
Absolutely. So I'm expecting we're going to have lots of fun stuff to talk about. So we mm-hmm. will see you next week. A little girl once said to me, you gotta live.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.